take a second to step back and build that awareness and understand yourself within the world and care for yourself and learn how to regulate yourself, there's nothing that can stop you.
Welcome back, guys. It is the season two finale of the Freely Rooted podcast. I am your host, Corey, and my co-host, Fallon, and I have chosen the topic and the guests of today's episode with such care and intention. And I know it's going to be such a profound conversation for you guys to tune into if you have been listening for a while. You guys know that we have set up our podcast in a way that is really comprehensive, so that way you guys can ease into this information if it is new to you. And by now, if you have been listening since the beginning, you probably have some time under your belt on your metabolic health journey, especially if you are a course student or if you have grabbed one of Fallon's meal plans. And honestly, some of you guys are probably pros by now on what it takes to restore your metabolism. And I think that while on a healing journey, it can be really easy to get caught up in a checklist, right? I'm doing all the quote unquote right things, right? You'll hear us talk about that on today's episode and how so much of that is rooted in behaviorist parenting and really just our childhood conditioning in society in general, where you are praised for what you do and not who you are as a person, where children are seen and not heard. Not truly, truly heard and responded to and tuned into. So much of Western parenting is just, it's honestly not about optimizing a child's nervous system. And that's important because our childhood shapes our nervous system. And that's essentially going to be the theme of today's episode, how our childhood shapes our nervous system, how our nervous system impacts our healing journey, how, yes, we need to take a food-first approach to healing to get back into and reconnect to our bodies, but what then? What happens then is it's time to examine our lives. Who are we? How do we show up for ourselves? How do we show up for those around us? Are we living a lifestyle of chaos? Is our job chaotic? You'll hear Josh talk about how this is why everyone's healing timeline is so different from each other. Not only do we have to examine our own childhood and how it's impacted our nervous system development, but also our current state and how that's, regulating or dysregulating our nervous system. So I hope you guys walk away today inspired to take a step back, reconnect to yourself, ask yourself, am I just looking for a set of rules, a checklist to check off, or am I looking to learn about my body and about my physiology and sustainably heal and truly heal from the inside out, including my mindset? Because that is a huge roadblock for so many people. They can be doing all the quote unquote right things, but if they can't stop worrying about their health and really truly believing it's not going to work for them, that can be the thing that is hindering them. On Instagram, I know I get asked a lot to post full days of eating. And honestly, my answer is just always no, because I don't feel at that point that it stewards my audience very well. My course students know how to assess what's working for them and what isn't. But to be honest, I don't know that it stewards my audience as a whole well, considering that a lot of them are still in a place where they are looking for that black and white set of rules to follow. The reason I know this is because if I, throw up a picture of me eating a lentil curry dinner, for example, one night on my Instagram story, I'll get 50 messages right away saying, wait, I thought we weren't allowed to eat lentils. So you can see how, even though I'm pretty positive no one has ever said that in the metabolic community ever, things can still get taken out of context in a pursuit of a checklist. And that's kind of what we want you to divorce yourself from after today's episode. So all that being said, I hope you guys walk away from today's episode empowered and inspired to pursue freedom and individuality and really just putting the power back into your hands. That is the goal, for you to figure out what works best for you, not just doing something that somebody else said, but that you know that it is working for your body. And we know that so many of you guys are doing that already. So thank you guys so much for supporting this podcast. If you think about it, throw up a review for us. We love to read them. And enjoy the season two finale. All right, Josh and Jeannie, welcome to the show. And thank you guys so much for being part of our season finale. This is a really big deal that you guys are on. And if you guys listening do not already know who we're sitting down with, their Instagram handle is Real Food Gangstas. And you two have been doing this for a really long time and have shared so much of your wisdom that you have learned along the way with the rest of us. And we're so grateful for that. And so first of all, can you just tell us how you got into this line of work? you know, of restoring thyroid and metabolic function, why you were drawn to it, and then why you guys knew this approach was kind of going to invite people to stop symptom chasing.
I think that, you know, we could both sit here and tell you our journey of education, right? Because it's boring and long, you know, from our degrees to our certifications to, you know, the Czech Institute. I taught there and traveled. That's why I met her. I was teaching and she was a classmate. That's all great stuff. But there's something we always say, because even when I was in college and I kind of skipped around a little bit through degrees, so it took me a little longer to go through college, but everything we've done along our journey, we feel, has been for a reason. And it's not that we've chose it, it's chosen us. Mm-hmm. And the work really found us. Like every little thing along the way has added to every layer of what we've learned, of what we taught, of what we experienced. So we feel like the work kind of found us and chose us in a sense. And of course, yes, like we love focusing on thyroid health and everyone we found along the way, from Paul Check and Dr. Timmons and Ray Pete, of course, and Morley. It's always all these people we find, it always comes back to the cell. And that's what our approach is about. Yes, we say thyroid because everyone knows, well, not everyone, but what a thyroid is. But yeah, it's really about the cell, which is about breath. It's about life, because that is the first thing you come into this world as, and you multiply, and then you become a conglomeration of cells. So it's been an amazing journey, and we truly feel like we're here for a reason, and the work put us here, and we're exactly where we're supposed to be. I don't know if you feel this way. I'm pretty sure you do, but
yeah, I think that we're guided along the way, and I know for me, you know, suffering with hormonal issues my entire life from exiting the womb, it set me on a journey. And I wanted to know, you know, I lived in the mainland for my whole life, and then I moved to Hawaii and had two totally different experiences of myself. And I was curious about that, and I wanted to know more. And coming back, you know, I have a long history of chaos in my life, let's say, you know, from an early childhood time. And when I came back, I knew that I needed to position myself well, and I needed to position myself in a place where people wanted to be healthy. Mm. And that's where I started, you know, and I started taking classes, and I started, you know, learning, and I, you know, I started at the Czech Institute because Josh and I, you know, there's just a real passion for truth and wholeness, and, you know, where does this all begin, you know, and it's just set off this whole journey. And, you know, Josh is talking about, you know, our niche is in thyroid health, but that's because 15 years ago, when we talked about cellular energy and we talked about metabolism, it was like whoosh.
No one knew what it was. Like, we've been using these terms forever, you know? Even back to our Facebook, our YouTube for early 2000s. I mean, we would talk about it and people would just be like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I mean, people still say that to me, so it's okay. But
you can ask any one of my family members what I do, and they could ask.
No one understands it. Still didn't get it. But you know, it's beautiful that the work is making it into the.
It's amazing.
It's getting out there more. And maybe you know me, maybe you don't. I just am very passionate about this stuff, and I don't like when it gets bastardized. And that was, you know, I speak openly about it. That's why I left the Czech Institute after 12 years of teaching for them, because it was going in a very bad direction, in my opinion. And that doesn't mean it was, just my opinion and experience. And same thing, like, even with the Ray Pete stuff, like, I got introduced to his work in, like, 2002 when I was taking a metabolic typing course with Dodie Robbins, who was my teacher, you know, and she was like, hey, check out that, you would really love this. It seems like you love this stuff. Check it out. I was like, boom. Like, what is this stuff? And I studied him forever, and then we studied him, but then it started to get super bastardized, and we took what we wanted, and we moved on, and we grow. And that's really what we want to do. We don't want to say this is what we do because someone said so and this is what we follow. We take what we feel works, because we believe you can learn something from everyone, from everything. You know, it doesn't mean like Ray Pete's better than Morley Robbins, and Morley's better than Ray, and Paul Check's this, and all these different people are competition. If we just take a step back and say everyone's trying to do the same thing. You know, through the journey of working with people and seeing yourself when you work with people, you come to a place and go, we're all trying to do the same thing. We're all trying to create health. And it just looks a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. Many paths up the mountain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I love y'all's approach in that matter, just that you really try to be very anti-dogma, very anti-trend, and just really get to the root of health. And I think that you guys just have established a phenomenal platform, and business and the way that you're impacting people is just amazing. And I also have to say, Jeannie, it's so nice to see your face and hear your voice. I feel like Josh is kind of our like Instagram real star that we see all the time, which is amazing.
On that, I'm kind of like a little more turned down on the back end, and that's okay. It took us a long time to get comfortable. Well, me, long time to get comfortable with, we have our strengths and weaknesses, and to really value and honor that. So thank you. Mm-hmm. I love being here, and I do come on a lot more frequently these days. So
yeah, I love
it. It's fun for me now.
That's so great. I love y'all's dynamic. It's awesome. Okay. So to start off with kind of the meat of the episode, will you guys introduce our audience to the concept of the nervous system? So whatever you want to touch on, you know, maybe parasympathetic versus sympathetic, et cetera. And how does that shape our biology?
Well, the nervous system, it's become a very popular thing and everyone's kind of talking about it. The problem is it's very, very, in a beautiful way, very technical. It's not as simple as sympathetic, parasympathetic.
And I think that's the biggest point before you go any further, is that it's a very, very big conversation, right?
Yeah.
And there's many layers to it.
Well, if you read a textbook, it is parasympathetic, sympathetic. And parasympathetic is rest and digest, which is really not 100% true. And sympathetic is stress running from a lion. That's what we always hear. But when you really dive in and you see who brought the autonomic nervous system to the forefront was Stephen Porges, because he talked about polyvagal theory. His work is very technical. It's very challenging to read, but there's a lot of people who have studied his work that have written books like Deb Dana, you know, Irene Lyons and other people that have really kind of somewhat simplified it in an easy way, but it's still complex. You know, our nervous system is a piece of our body, let's say, that it is really shaped by our experiences and our environment, even at a very early age, and everything that happens in our life. And we could just say there's three tiers to the nervous system. And your top tier is like homeostasis. I'm chilling, I'm doing good. If it could talk, it'd say life is good, I'm balanced. I can interact with people, I'm compassionate, you know, I'm just doing okay. You know, normal body temperature and pulse, feeling good. And that is your ventral vagal, ventral meaning front vagal nerve coming down the front of your body. And that's just what they call your social engagement piece of your nervous system. And that's, I can interact with people, I can co-regulate, I can co-mingle. You know, I can auto-regulate. I can regulate around other people. When you start to understand the nervous system, you start to understand people and where they're at. Not maybe why they got here, because of course we all have a huge story. But even what's going on in the world right now, you start to understand what people are and what they say, and you're like, that is fear-driven, or you know. But this is where we want to be. That doesn't mean you're there all the time, but this is where we want to be, right? And a lot of people can't be there. Why? Because you see it on social media. We have lost the ability to communicate. Mm-hmm. Number one, we communicate with emojis, but number two, we can't communicate anymore, because if you say something that someone doesn't like or disagrees with, you either get yelled at, your head bitten off, or you get canceled, right?
Wow.
Now we know that most of us are not regulating. We're not auto-regulating, and that's what human beings are. We are designed to interact, communicate, have compassion, show joy, not only to ourselves, but to other people. And that's where we should be, but we're not. Now, if you drop down to other pieces of the nervous system, it doesn't always go like one, two, three.
Well, that's the polyvagal part of the parasympathetic.
Right.
So you have your fight, flight.
That is the parasympathetic. But there's actually another piece to that, you know, nervous system, which is a little bit, they call it the lowest piece of the nervous system, which is the ventral vagal. Dorsal vagal, which is, it originates from the back and it comes down and innervates everything below the diaphragm. That's your rest and digest. That's a tone of the dorsal vagal that's, let's just say, good, right? That is your rest and digest. But there's another side to that they call your freeze, your immobilized state, right? And believe it or not, this piece of our nervous system is what we're born with, right? This is what babies are born with. It's an unmyelinated system. We can't talk. We don't have high range, you know, functions. Everything we need is because met by someone else, even emotionally. And Irene Lyon talks about how this piece of our nervous system isn't myelinated and it has to be polished. And the only way it can become polished is by kind of sharing the nervous system of our environment, of the people around us, of how we're getting taken care of. Are we nurtured at home or nurtured in a daycare? It's very, very different on the nervous system at a very young age, you know, 6 months old, a year old. And you see this nowadays, right? So that nervous system, our nervous system, this is what we say, our nervous system gets shaped by our experiences, because that is a very important piece of our development, you know, when our nervous system isn't polished. And this is why you'll hear the term developmental trauma. That doesn't mean like you were abused. That's more of a, what they call a micro trauma, you know, but a developmental trauma is like, you know, maybe you were born and you weren't held right away, you know, for the first 6 months for some reason, or maybe you were medicated, or maybe you got vaccines, or maybe the environment in your house wasn't, it was chaotic, or there was just one parent, whatever it is. That's a developmental trauma. And for a lot of people, believe it or not, we won't go back to the womb, but that's where a lot of people's dysregulation within their physiology, within their nervous system begins.
Right. And I think it is important to understand that even in utero, we're picking up, right. You know, if mom is stressed, we're being flooded by stress hormones, right? And then there's that transgenerational nervous system that we just inherit, you know, and there's so many levels. So some people are aware of their developmental traumas or pieces, right. But a lot of people don't have any awareness. They were raised in homes that were really calm and quiet, and they were nurtured and they were fed and they were tucked in bed and they were given the ideal, you know, upbringing, but there's still experiences that can create a tone within the nervous system that we may not be aware of. Right.
But this is why everyone's healing journey is so different. Right. You know, you hear people say, I don't understand. You interviewed someone on Instagram and it took them 2 months to heal and they've been doing this a year and why me and why me and why me? Mm-hmm. This is because, you know, and if you study the work of the amazing, most incredible human being, Gabor Mate, you know, he talks about the, I just forget the name, psychosocial theory, biopsychosocial theory. You can't separate, you know, the emotional and the psychological and the social aspects of someone's life from their biology. And some of us are just, we have that developmental trauma from early on. You know, we've created that much debt in a simplified way that food alone isn't the only thing that's going to heal us. It can have a powerful impact on our biology, but this is why we always say online, right? Play, mindset, you know, doing little things, journaling, mind dumping. If you think about it, if we create better experiences, we can reshape our biology. But we've gotten so lost, right? Because we don't want to play with our children anymore. We play on our phone when they're playing, or we put them on their tablet. You know, it's like we used to come home and we play big wheels outside. We play tag until it was dark. You know, we had play is probably the best way to get back in the body and reshape your nervous system. It's one of the, because you just, you're there, you're present, you know, and you let go of everything that's happening. So I think we've lost that ability. I forget where I was going with this, but
that's great though. Yeah.
But this is why a lot of people have trouble healing, because they think that a lab or red light therapy or parasite cleanse or food is going to heal them. And it's a piece to a very big puzzle, you know, and unless you change all of this, you don't have to change all of this, but work on these pieces that got you here. Nothing's going to change, you know, and we've all accrued a different amount of debt, but this is why a lot of those people have trouble healing, because they do have that developmental trauma.
I love this conversation so much. I just was going to kind of relate this to my own journey. I feel like because I'm kind of a dogmatic person by nature, and that's something I have to fight quite a bit. And, you know, I look at my own journey of bouncing from protocol to protocol and diet to diet. And I mean, it's hard not to sort of end up that way, but I love that you guys talk about this element, because I really was that person for a long time in my healing journey and still have to fight this idea that, okay, you know, red light therapy or trigger pointing or things that can be incredibly beneficial, but seeing that element as, okay, this is the one piece, this is the piece that's going to fix me or heal me. And it's just not that simple, you know? And I have to laugh because the gal that I do with some of my testing through, Amanda Montalvo, probably if you're listening, you know who she is. She always asks me, cause I'm like, I'm doing this. I've got the, you know, I'm checking this box and checking this box. And she's like, but are you enjoying your life and are you having fun? Because that's the thing. It's really easy, I think, for so many of us who sort of align with this dogmatic approach to things to feel like, okay, well, here's my checklist and I'm doing it all. So why am I not healed? And it's like, you cannot sidestep either suppressed trauma or, you know, distracted living, like you guys were talking about, you know, being on your phone instead of playing with your kids or putting your kids on a device instead of playing with them. Like we can't step around that in our healing journey. It has to be integrated or we're just not going to get to a place of thriving. So I love that you guys really bring this approach to your work, that it's not just this piece. It's not just this piece. It's putting everything together and then actually playing and enjoying your life. I think that's so beautiful.
We're not saying it's easy because it isn't easy.
Sure.
You know, I left home from Boston when I was 28. I was a mama's boy. You know what I mean? It was like I discovered myself when I left home. You know, and it hasn't been easy because the more I discover myself, I see the pieces and parts of, you know, that life, and I'm like, I don't like it. You know, it's not easy. You know, but if you do little things along the way, that little by little becomes a lot over time. And I was saying the same thing to a client yesterday because she was very stressed about a personal situation. And she's like, I'm eating and I'm doing the food. And I'm like, but what else are you doing? What do you do for yourself every day? Beside, because she's in like a service industry, help people and eat good food. And she's like, nothing. And I'm like, exactly. Mm-hmm. These are the pieces we have to start focusing on. Because we can strangle the nutrition all we want, but if we don't create new experiences, what are we doing? This is the red light therapy. This is the supplements. This is the trigger point therapy. This is everything. We're trying to heal in our head. And the only way you can heal, right, because anytime there's a trauma, right, not a traumatic event, but a trauma, which is the physiological reaction that's happening inside of us, we have a disconnection from self. Right. This is why, I mean, think about it. One of the most common diagnoses we've seen emerge over the past 5 years is depersonalization. Never heard that term 15 years ago, right? Oh. It's disconnection from self. So when you start simplifying, getting rid of the chaos, doing these little things, you get back into your body. That's not uncomfortable. That is very uncomfortable for a lot of people, you know. You could probably talk on that more than I can, but you know, it's not a very comfortable place to be. It can be scary because we let go of all the things, the behaviors and rituals that are allowing us to survive and that have kept us alive the past 5, 10, 15, 20 years.
And I do want to speak to that piece about, you know, checking the list, going down and checking the boxes, right? Because in a way, you know, in my generation, children were seen, not heard. Right? And you got a treat or you got recognized when you did something good, right? So there's a conditioning behind that, right? And there's a new level of conditioning now with our children where, you know, you should be doing 5 different activities in a day, right? You should be doing sports, you should be playing the piano, you should be learning how to sing, you should learn how to paint, you should do this and that. It's like, holy crap, we've got to slow this down for them, right? And really preserve that beautifulness of childhood, that innocence. But you can see where it becomes to get really out of control, because when we are doing, when we have people checking the list and going on the protocol, they're showing us pieces of that nervous system, right? We have uncertainty, we have fear, there's activation going on. So it's always about how do we pull back and do less and be more aware in our bodies? How do we come back into that space and feel what's actually going on? Because that's where we get our power back, right? And we have a whole culture of people digging into the nervous system, right? Like doing ayahuasca, doing crazy kind of therapies to get into the trauma. Mm. And this is a piece that really kind of gets me, because I've worked 15 years in my own trauma unwinding, right? And I could not have progressed to that any faster. And nor have I, would I wanted to, because it would have been very damaging to me, right? But now we have people that want to take the elevator to the top,
right,
without doing and building the capacity to be able to move through and to be able to feel that in their body, because that's the only way to unwind it, is to feel it and allow it to move through. But we're going so fast, we're so confused, that we don't allow ourselves that opportunity to feel that, because that is a threat, right?
And that's that sympathetic piece of the nervous system, right. The other piece, which is in your spine, that's the, you know, high pulse, you know, that hyperadrenaline, because it's a sympathomedullary piece of the nervous system. It stimulates the medulla of the adrenal glands, which releases adrenaline, right? So that's that, you know, running from a lion, getting on a roller coaster, never getting off, feeling, you know, I need to move, I have so much energy type of thing. You know, the world is against me. Everything is fear driven, you know? And that's where a lot of people are, you know, that's how people are moving right now. A million miles an hour, they're in their head, they're doing more and more and more. The problem is, we're moving further and further and further and further from self. And that's not where we need to be. We need to get back. And that's why we always say simplicity, 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 simplicity. The problem is, we learn this from an early age, like Jeannie was saying with kids. It's like sport after sport, activity after activity. And we see this now having a son, because he has friends that are starting to do sports. And we're like, maybe, because what do you want to do, Harris? I want to do wrestling. So we're like, we thought about jiu-jitsu. But we're very in tune with Harrison, and we, to the best as we can as parents, and we're like, he's not there yet, you know, and he's, we're big into the Waldorf method, and he's in a Waldorf school, and he's still in his head. He's so imaginative, and tell me a story, and
very left brain, very
just
left,
like,
brain. Hasn't crossed over.
He hasn't crossed over yet, and he's not in his body yet. So it's like, if we rushed him into all these different things right now, A, we're not meeting his needs. And then think about from a nervous system perspective and how that's going to translate over time to when he turns 20, 25, 30, what that's going to look like. Now, of course, it's never going to be perfect, and we're doing the best we can. But I think, you know, this is something we always said, and we've written a post on this. This awareness as a parent that we have for our children, excuse me, is just like on another planet. It's just there. Like, you know exactly how your kids are feeling, what's going on, what does that crying mean, or do they need just a day off or to rest, whatever it is. But if we have that awareness for ourselves, healing would just be, it would just happen, and health would just happen. You know what I mean? So I think that's a powerful thing when we think about, what do I need? What should I do? Who should I work with? What supplement should I take next? You know, have that, start developing that awareness for yourself that you have for your kids. You know, and unfortunately, some of us just don't have that even for our kids, right? We want to check those boxes.
Wow. That's so profound. I actually find a lot of the times as well, we're like trying to show up for our kids a certain way, and that's when we realize we don't even show up for ourselves that way. And we're like, oh my goodness, there's some reparenting that needs to happen there. And that's kind of how an awareness is built. And I love going back to what Jeannie said earlier about checking the boxes, and I hadn't even related it to kind of like childhood conditioning and, you know, getting your gold star and being, I guess, performance based and checking the boxes so you feel good about yourself and you're a good girl or a good boy. And I also think, because in my mind, I was thinking of it as kind of a Western medicine, but even functional medicine, kind of like lab situation where we want to see our health on a lab. Like we want like our health results on a lab so we can be like, yeah, this is exactly how my health is doing right now. And this stuff just doesn't really show up on labs the way that we want to see it. And that's why this conversation is so important, because it just isn't giving us the full picture. And just this whole idea of the emotional component of disease, dysfunction, imbalance. It's not something, it's almost a little taboo. It's not even something, it almost sounds woo-woo to people if they're brand new to this topic, but you guys are just putting that whole picture together. And I don't know if you guys want to elaborate on just the idea of the emotional component of disease and dysfunction.
I think it all begins in the emotions, first 100%. Of all. And I think, you know, there's no separating, as Josh was talking earlier about Gabor and the biopsychosocial, there's no separating the immune, the hormonal, the nervous system apparatuses. They're all one and the same.
They're all controlled by the nervous system.
Right. so it's really understanding that that is what shapes your relationship to the world, right? And what you're observing in your health is how well you're withstanding the world based on your experiences, right? That's really what we're seeing in a lot of ways. And I'll say again, coming back to the checking the boxes, that there is a personality type behind this work, right? And the people that we speak to, there's a real type A personality that comes along with this, that there's a real need to succeed, right? And failure is not an option. And that is a big driving force. So when we are talking about emotions, you know, in our work, we can't take people right to the emotional piece. Like, that's not going to happen because they're here for the physical. But I also think that's important in that our culture, our society has put so much emphasis for so many decades on the physical body. And now we're starting to have this conversation about the emotional body and how they're inseparable, right? But I think that it's such an important conversation because, again, we can't just go to that level. And that's one thing that stood out to me about 7 years into our work. I'm like, whoa, this is really big. Well, first when we started doing the work and implementing the methods that we do today, and we started really studying function and physiology, I was so angry for like 6 months, I remember. It was like, it was really, really palpable. Like, I was pissed that I had been lied to for so long, you know? No, because I had already been in the industry for 5 or 6 years before that. And I was like, oh my God, everything that we know is not true when you start thinking about function versus just treating disease, right? And then it became so easy. And then we began applying it into our own lives and into the lives of our clients. And then moving through my own healing process, it was like waking up with joy and happiness. And being happy in my body. The first time I felt my body as a resource was like, I bawled. I cried like a baby. And I'm like, oh my God, I didn't even know this was possible. You know, so it really began to see if we start to observe and we build these awarenesses in our lives and we look at the things that activate us, right? Or we look at the things that just really don't feel good, you know, like, I was the caretaker for my family for many years, and it was a job that was handed to me unknowing to the adults in my life, right? It was just circumstantial and it happens. But I wanted to take care of everybody. And I slowly began to realize that that was such a roadblock for me, and I had to step out and I had to step away. But I would not have had those resources or that ability to do so had I not been toning my nervous system by the use of just my food, the awareness of balance, the need for nutrition, you know, high level quality nutrition.
To us, is nutrition for everyone is the gateway.
Yeah.
Right? Because going to that place for a lot of people is scary.
Very scary.
So when we use nutrition, we build that resiliency and we build that capacity. That's the only way you can tone the nervous system is to have that, right? So we use nutrition as a gateway. And of course, when you're doing that metabolically by toning down the stress, increasing vagal tone, you know, the production of energy and what that does to the nervous system, you're still having a profound effect on the system as a whole. But as you move through that journey and you start kind of taking steps back into your body, you can feel again, big things happen because then you start going, oh, this part of my life or these pieces of my life really work for me. And this is what I want to take because it supports me. It resources me. It tones my nervous system. It makes me feel good. These pieces of my life, they don't serve me anymore. They take too much from me, whether it's my job, you know, or people in my life or things in my life, or just going to the gym at 5 a.m. or fasting. It doesn't always have to be so emotional, but you know, when you're doing these little things, you don't realize how much you're meeting your body's needs, you know, how much you're moving closer to self and how much you're toning your nervous system. It doesn't always have to be talk therapy. You know, it could just be doing these little things along the way to support yourself. And that's what it's all about. The issue is most people are doing things they don't like. They don't like their job. They don't like their relationships. They don't like spending money on all these supplements that they're taking. They don't like they're on social media, but they're on social media. I mean, the list goes on, you know, and the only person that's going to meet your needs is you. So you have to make those changes. And we say this all the time. The only way you can create change is to change. It's the only way you're going to create change. The issue is checking the boxes, taking the supplements, the red light, there, all that stuff. That's not change. That's adding more to a plate that is already overflowing.
Wow.
But the only way you can create change is through creating awareness. Right. And the changes that you make, you know, in this conversation, it can seem like I gotta, you know, redo my whole life. Right. And that's not the point, right? It's just observing those things that a lot of us already know. Like, that's really bugging me, but we don't do anything about it, right? It's like always in there in your gut, that intuition. And I always encourage people to just start there. Just make one little shift.
Exactly.
You know, because it's those little tiny things that are really speaking to us, or big things, because they are big. They're at the height of our awareness on any given day. Those are the guys that we want to start with first.
It could be waking up and having breakfast, and you never eat breakfast.
Right.
You know, it could be as simple as that. It could be saying, like I was talking to my client yesterday, she's like, I don't know what to do, though. I have no idea what to do beside work in my food, you know, and that's, I would say, 99% of our clients. So we tell them, I can't come up with something because I don't know what resources your system. I don't know what anchors you into the ground. So sit down and take some time to think about that. You know, this one client always sticks in my head. She was very young. She was in her early 20s. She was an amazing human being. She got such incredible results. We did this much with her food. But it was just, I remember this just one piece, and she was a college student, and she was just so OCD about her health, you know. And in the beginning, we talked about this piece we're talking about. She's like, you know what? I love music, and I never listen to music anymore. Mm-hmm. And I've always thought about just putting my headphones on, turning on my phone and music, and just dancing in my room. I'm like, why don't you? She's like, I don't know. So she started doing that like 1 to 3 times a day. And no, kid you not, it was a huge piece of her healing journey that helped her discover these other pieces that really helped to, you know, not only create that change, but just get back in her body and build those resources again, you know, because we live in chaos. We're not saying live in a bubble, you know, and just move off the grid. We're saying, how do you build resiliency to the stress, right? So you can get off that roller coaster when you need to.
And just the awareness of the stress. I think of this story that I heard a few weeks ago that I feel like perfectly, it's like the perfect analogy for this. There's this speaker who was on a speaking tour, and his phone was a huge part of his career. He was just always on his phone, always checking emails. And there was this one day where he wasn't touching his phone, not really by intention. It was just like, just the way his flow of the day was going. And he went back to his phone at the end of the day, and he got this email. And he read the email, and he felt this, like, he's like, oh, like that, like, really sucked a lot of energy out of me. And that kind of like changed my emotional state. And he was really drained by that one email. And then he was like, oh my gosh, I have been living my life constantly in this state of chaos, reading emails like this all day long. And I just didn't have the awareness of the stress it was creating in my body until I took a step away from it and then realized, whoa. And so he kind of recreated the pattern of his life where phone land was only phone land at like 4 p.m. and 1 p.m. And he could create and make time for that one, you know, I guess, period of time where he's checking emails. But whenever, it's just the idea of stepping away from it and creating an awareness of the stress in the environment of your lives is huge. And so a follow-up question, going back to the food piece, do you find that people can even like get into their bodies without addressing food first?
I was just gonna say, we take them there through their food, right? Yes. So we start there. It's like, how does the meal satiate you? Does it make you warm? Does it sustain you for a period of time? So we start at that level of just identifying, what is that meal?
You build awareness that way.
Right? Mm. And then we have them track their activity, their mood, their sleep, their bowels, or whatever it is for them. We want to watch that with them so they can begin to identify with women. It's their cycles. We're going to start to track the cycles so that we can begin to see when different symptoms appear. And then we can begin to create a little bit more of a plan, a plan of action against that, right? Or just be with it. Because we are working with that system all the time, and over time it will begin to regulate itself, right? So I think that's a really powerful thing. And we use the word reorientation, right? So we are having people stop, that we're asking them to pause 4 to 6 times a day after their meal. And in that pause is a moment for them to step into their body and say, well, what do I notice right now? How do I feel right now?
But that's
now?
Not easy. A lot of people say, I don't have the time to do that. I'm at work.
Or they're just resistant against it. They're just like, I don't even know. I don't know what you want me to say here. I have no idea how I feel.
So it tells you a lot about the person that you're working with. And for a lot of people, they don't hear what they're saying. You know what I mean? But this is another reason why people have such a hard time healing, because they're so focused on the food, but not how it's working for them. And this is why we say food first, because there's a difference metabolically between eating a meal that's metabolic and eating a meal that is metabolic that works for your physiology where you're at, right? So if you said to me, you know, hey, Josh, for lunch, you're going to have eggs and fruit, that wouldn't work for me. It's not dense enough. Does it work for breakfast? Sure. But it would not work for lunch. So we have to really begin to learn what makes us tick. And when you begin to create that awareness by pausing during the day, by tuning in how food affects you, you know, you begin to create this awareness. So, of course, food first, you build this awareness, you create change, and then you can take what you've learned and apply it to anything in your life, anything in your life, right? Because if people take a step back and said, you know, I work out at 5 in the morning, I don't eat, and I come home, if they just sat down and sunk into their body and say, does this really work for me? How does this make me feel? I guarantee 90% of the people would say it doesn't. Same thing with all the supplements they're taking. You know, it's like people come to us on 45 supplements and I'll say, can you tell me more about your supplements? Do you think they're working for you? 100%. If they were, we wouldn't be working together, right? So, you know, we have to really, that is, all this stuff for us is a ton of information of where they're at, you know, but it's the little things that you can do daily and begin just creating awareness around those things. Don't overthink it. Do the workout you want to do. Don't go, I can't work out because I'm healing right now. Do it. Assess it. Feel it. Take your temp and pulse. It felt great. And my temp and pulse was normal 45 minutes later. Awesome. Then what you did worked.
And I slept and I'm not skipping cycles.
Right. Never just guess and say it's not going to work. Whatever you want to do, do it. Assess it. Sink into your body. How does it feel? From there, you fine-tune. That's what allows you to build that awareness. But if you go, I'm healing, I'm hypothyroid, I can't work out, you're not meeting your needs. You're not meeting your needs. You're not going to create awareness. You're just trying to follow a protocol. Protocols don't build awareness. Right?
I'm so glad you brought up the exercise bit, actually, because I think, again, people can approach this with a lot of black and white methodology.
Of course.
And I have been one of those people. Probably no surprise to you guys. Yeah, but this is actually super relevant, because even within this past week, I mean, I've always loved strength training, and I know that's a big, you know, pro metabolic approach, and I love that. But there are other things that I sort of felt like, oh, I sort of missed that. You know, like I used to be a runner, and while I would not turn around and run marathons again, there are occasional days where I'm like, I feel like it would feel good to go for a short run and then assess. And it's funny, one of my friends a couple of weeks ago, reminded me, she said one of her favorite things about me was that I never turned down an opportunity to dance. And I was like, am I even that person anymore? I mean, it was just this, I don't know. There was so long in my life where I would, you know, do like a Zumba class or, you know, something like that when I wanted to exercise and move my body. And I loved to dance. And I think, again, as I sort of put myself into this place of approaching things dogmatically, I sort of sacrificed that and laid it down because I thought, oh, well, I don't know that, you know, tons of cardio is the best. And within the past week or so, I've just realized, you know, I love dancing. I'm going to incorporate that into my life again. And I have felt this joy and this vibrancy sort of enter back into my spirit and my life that I think I didn't have for a while, because it's so easy, like we've talked about, to just feel like, okay, these are the rules that are laid out in front of me, and I just have to follow them. And that's not what this healing journey is about. And I know that you guys are preaching this constantly, because it's just the way that all of us, you know, type A perfectionist, this whole generation of people who, again, going back to how we were raised and how we were rewarded in school. And like, this is our entire upbringing is based on do XYZ to get XYZ. And so it's really just refreshing to have people like you guys in this sphere who are reminding us that, hey, do what works for you, you know, honor your biology, find the basic principles, get back to simplicity, and then stop stressing out about it so much. Like, find what you love and do it.
Well, I was going to say, when you live in that place that you're in, the problem is our journey to become healthy has now become unhealthy.
Exactly. Right? Yes.
And physiologically, you can be sitting and eating metabolic foods and doing whatever mm-hmm. you're doing and think you're benefiting yourself. But the problem is emotional stress can, let's just say, kick the adrenals in the chin 24/7. Yeah. That's why we always say the stress of eating the cake yeah. is worse than eating the cake. Mm. Should I eat it? Should I not eat it? Am I going to get fat? Oh my God. You know, it's like, that's worse than eating the cake. You know, and when you let go, you're just like, I felt joy. You naturally auto-regulated back into that top piece of your nervous system because you said, you know what? I want to do this and I'm going to create awareness if it works for me. And it's really easy because, of course, ask yourself, assess your symptoms, not after one session, maybe after a week or two, you know, assess your patterns, but take your temp and pulse 30 to 45 minutes after working out. If your temp's normal, your pulse is high, that tells you what you did, the intensity, the frequency, that needs to change. The exercise needs to be the focus. What do we shift? If your pulse is normal, but your temp drops, tells us nutritionally something needs to change. You're not meeting your metabolic needs, and what you did is become a stress because there's not enough energy in the bank. This is why we say do it, then assess, because otherwise you're going to end up doing nothing. And that's what people are doing, right? They're so focused on these foods. Like orange juice is just going to heal the world. It's going to open up and we're going to walk on the bottom of the ocean floor. And we have to drink gallons of it every day. It's just like, it's out of control, you know, because food is not, I mean,
Food's the easy part.
And we've said this for so long, the two of us, right? Last time we were eating McDonald's. I'm just kidding. Last time we were sitting down, we're like, the people that just focus so much on food are the ones that have the hardest times. The ones that go, you know, I'm going to focus a little on my food, but really focus on all these other pieces, which is the foundation, right? Whether it's changing when they wake up or go to bed or their mindset, whatever it may be, making little changes, dancing again. When they get to the food becomes so much easier and has such a huge impact on their system. Why? Because it's rooted now. It has this foundation to work from. You've already reshaped your physiology through your experiences, and the nutrition just meshes right in. And those people get such better results.
Mm. Something I've heard you guys talk about is the idea of, yeah, if you're like doing all the quote unquote right things, but even if you have like an inkling of like worry and stress over what you're doing, you're not getting anywhere. It's keeping your body in chaos, basically, even though you're trying to do the right things. And something else I've heard you guys talk about is that I thought was really fascinating. I think it was on Matt Blackburn's podcast. You were talking about clients that you've worked with who have gained weight versus clients that you've worked with that have lost weight or have, or the weight just hasn't been a huge deal. And how like the stress and concern about the weight seem to be one of the biggest drivers of keeping them in that place.
Give me a major roadblock because right. they're working through a filter of weight loss constantly versus health and healing and understanding that as you build that and as you build those metabolic reserves and what you're learning in that process provides so much opportunity to be empowered and to be in control, right? So you begin to understand what really does work and then putting into perspective how we got here. I always take my clients back to how we got here. We always have to go back and revisit it a little bit because we forget, right? Because we do have different layers that we go through and we feel so much different, but then we'll come back. I got a client recently who's just like, I cannot get my focus off of the weight. She came to me 20 or 30 pounds overweight, having jumped into the pro-metabolic world, right? But she's also a nursing mom of multiple children. And she's always been an athlete and whatnot. And she just couldn't get past that part, right? But she was like, I'm working out again. I feel amazing. I feel in control. But the weight wasn't shifting. But and it won't. And I want to say this to everybody. When your body is in a place of compensation, there is a hierarchy here,
right?
And it is not prioritizing weight loss. So not only do we have to work in finding what is our balance, what is the proper calorie for us, how do we properly move our bodies, right? We just have to take a step back and trust the process. There is a component of trust that needs to take place, and let go of this idealism of you're healthy if you look like this. You are accepted if you look like this, right? We have to move beyond that, because that is how we have defined health for so many years, is by a look and aesthetic, what you're eating, if you're eating healthy foods, exercising, doing yoga, meditation, whatever it may be, yet we're sicker than we've ever been, right? So what's the problem? You know what I mean? So we are wanting, our goal is to give that control back to you and have you be reflected on a daily of what it is that roadblock for you. What's getting in your way, right?
I mean, everyone wants to lose weight. You know, we have people come in and I get this and I get ovarian cysts and I don't get my cycle and PCOS and I get hair on my face and my arms falling off. And then the first conversation, it's like, I hope I lose 10 pounds. It's like, we're so focused on it, you know, and the problem is, like Jeannie said, you know, I understand, like, I know I'm not female, but, you know, I'm human. Mm-hmm. We all don't want to gain weight. Like, no one wants to gain weight and be uncomfortable in their body. It's not a good feeling. We've all been there. But it's a sign, because weight gain is inflammation. It's a sign. It's information to tell us where we're at, what's going on in our system. And just because you lose the weight doesn't mean you're healthy. It doesn't mean the inflammation is gone. And if you want to lose weight, do keto. It's the fastest way to lose weight. But, and that's the truth, right? That is the truth. But at the expense of damaging your metabolism, it's not a good thing, because this is why the term yo-yo dieting came into play, right? And then you gain the weight back when you try to eat normal again, and then you try to lose it again, it's 10 times harder, right? Because you've done so much damage to the system. So, you know, when people gain weight, it's obviously things are happening too fast in your life. You've done too much for too long. The body can only compensate for so long. There's mineral deficiencies, hormonal imbalances. There is chaos. We have to let go of the weight and say, how do I create balance? How do I create a symbiotic relationship between everything in the body? So the body works as a system of systems. Because when you do that, and when you get there, and for some people it takes a long time, the weight will naturally come off in a very healthy way. Mm-hmm. You
know? But the most important piece is, in that process, there's just this level of knowing. Like, I know that I am moving. I know what I'm doing is working for me, and I'll get there. Right. And I think that there's another level. Again, when we start really toning that nervous system, we can grasp that concept. Right. But, you know, speaking of the person I was just speaking to, there's that emotional piece again. So that emotional piece is always going to trump that physical piece,
always.
Where, you know, she's been separated from her family that lives overseas for so many years and doesn't have a support system on this end of things, you know. So there's lots of variables that we always have to consider that are playing a role. And how do we support pieces like that, right? What are the tools that we need to access to be able to support that? But I think most importantly is giving people back their control. That's what this work does. It gives you back your power, right? And in that power, over time, you will begin to anchor and redevelop or learn how to self-regulate that nervous system. Right? Because it's not something that happens overnight. And that's another thing I really want to put out there, because people think, if I just get through it, I'm going to be good. Another way, right? We're going to bastardize this whole nervous system thing.
How long does it take?
Let me work through that trauma and that piece, and I'll get through it and I'll be to the other side. No. And I said it, I spoke to it a little bit earlier in this conversation. It doesn't work that way. But if you take a second to step back and build that awareness and understand yourself within the world and care for yourself and learn how to regulate yourself, there's nothing that can stop you. You know,
the worry and fear you're talking about is actually an emotional piece of the nervous system, right? You have to understand when you're in the ventral vagal, there's still physiological things happening. That is what a trauma is. That is what a stress is. It's not an event. That's a traumatic event. It's the physiological response that's happening inside of us. So if you're trying to heal, and I'm like, I'm working with Corey and I want to regulate whatever it may be, but all I'm doing is focusing on my my weight loss and I'm worried about it, that you're never gonna lose the weight ever, because as I mentioned, and there's a lot of research on this with children that are nurtured at home when they're young and their nervous system is still developing versus going in daycare when they're 6 months old, you know, there's an emotional component to that. And their nervous system is in that sympathetic state 24/7 because they're not nurtured the same way. Right. So they're in that, let's just say, sympathetic state, you know, that stress state. And we know we only have so much metabolic reserve, and after a while that's going to work against us, you know? And for a lot of people, it does start at an early age. We don't even realize it. So there's more to weight loss than just food, or mm-hmm. weight gain than just food. Mm-hmm. You know, and healing doesn't take, you know, 2 months. I always share a piece of my healing journey with my clients to put it in perspective. I had a health scare in 2013. Literally, it's a long story, but I felt like I was dying. Mm-hmm. Well, long story short, I was saturated in iron. And my ferritin was like almost 1,000. The hemoglobin was like 21. Wow. List goes on. I don't know exactly how. I mean, I can see the steps to get me there, but I don't know exactly. I had 2 pituitary adenomas. My thyroid shut down. I mean, it was just like hell. But it took me 3.5 years not to feel better, but to regulate my labs through nutrition, through blood donation every 2 months for 3.5 years, to get my HTMA, to get my full Monty regulated 3.5 years to the month to create normalcy. Wow. So nothing happens overnight, right? Healing is a journey. We have to embrace it and just know that what we're doing is right. And then we can build awareness along the way to meet our needs to continue that process.
Yeah, that's such a good reminder. Because I feel like probably one of the most frequently asked questions I would imagine that all of us get is how long, right? Like how long is this going to take? And you just can't answer that for, I mean, it's just not going to be the same. So like I look at myself, I was at age 15, 16, not doing carbs after 12 at noon. I was eating sugar-free and low-fat at 15 years old, 16 years old. And so I'm like, it is no wonder that I've been on this journey for, I don't know, a couple of years, and then a whole food journey for 5 years before that. And I'm still healing. You know, it just, I think that it's just really hard for people to wrap their head around, okay, this isn't going to be like a 2 month fix.
And that's we're human. Yeah, so like, good. You're not always, we're not saying you're always going to be here. You're not mm-hmm. always going to be in ventral vagal, but here's the difference. If you go sympathetic, if you go dorsal vagal, you go, oh, I'm there. And you have the resources and the ability and the awareness to bring yourself back here when needed, right? It's that simple. But when we don't know where we are. We don't know what we're feeling. We don't have the resources to say, I'm here. How do I get back up to here, right?
Yeah. And that's, again, the beauty and the awareness is that you begin to understand where those activations are. You begin to understand and know how to support them. And because we don't change who we are at the core of who we are, we change our ability to respond to the world around us, right? Mm-hmm. And we build the tools and again, just the capacity. And that's, you know, what the work we're doing is we're building capacity to be able to come in and out the way that we're supposed to, because that fight or flight, even that freeze system, those are really critical pieces. They are a birthright for us to be able, because we need them so much, right? But it's whether or not we can regulate out of that. And that's what we're seeing today, is that there's just this real inability to regulate. And we keep perpetuating it by our approach to healing in the bigger, you know, culture of healing. And we need to stop.
That's why we use the body budget as an example for this entire thing. It's a bank account. You have an energy bank account. Most of us are born with, we're in the green, whether it's a million, 100,000, doesn't matter. And we live, we're in our teenage years, we can party all night, work all day, we don't feel it. We don't realize we're putting more money out the door than in. And all of a sudden we turn 20, 25, 30, 40, whatever. And we're like, oh my God, I'm $1 million in debt. How would that feel? Right? You would be in ventral, a dorsal vagal. You would be frozen. How am I going to pay this off? You know, think about what that feels like. But in order to create that change, you have to create awareness to stop the withdrawals and focus on slowly paying that off over time, and not, and reminding yourself, you know what? I'm still $100,000 in debt. but I'm on the path. And then you get to a place because of the awareness you've created, because of the lifestyle that you created, that now you work in a sense, you're making money, saving money, and you're able to spend money, and you're still in the green, right? That's the lifestyle that we need to live, because you can still spend, but you know how to replenish it and save at the same time.
Exactly. I think, a lot of us, a lot of that of our audience that listens, they're parents or want to become parents one day, or they're just interested in this topic in general. But I'm fascinated by the topic that you're kind of leading into of just like, okay, we're born in the green. And then how can we as parents set an environment within our homes that really allows our children to thrive? Because I feel like, I mean, you guys are probably familiar with the fact that Ray talks about like Western society, Western culture, perhaps being traumatizing in and of itself, just kind of the way that it's set up. And I wonder if you guys have personal examples or just, you know, what you tell your clients, if you guys touch on this, like how to recreate the culture in our own homes to create a thriving environment for us or our children.
There's a level of, you know, in the healing process, I think it begins with us, first of all, right? There is a level of healing that does involve self-parenting. So one of my mentors once said to me, the most important thing you can do for the development of a nervous system is we all need to be seen, heard, held, acknowledged, and responded to appropriately. And that's what we're doing with the people we work with. We're helping them to see themselves, understand themselves, respond to themselves appropriately, right? So that they can then reflect that to their children and create an environment where they're not so amped up here that the child is feeding off of that nervous system. Because when you have children that are very agitated, it's not the child. 99.9% of the time, it's not the child. Right?
And that's something we've said for so long. It's like half the time when I'm irritated with Harrison has nothing to do with Harrison.
Right.
It's because the babysitter canceled this morning. But there's so much to what you said, and it really, you could get technical with it. Yeah. There's a lot of work done by Stephan Porges and Deb Dana on this, but they talk about an influx of information to the neocortex, mm-hmm. you know, and it's like it's like you have a bouncer to a door and let so many people in, but if there's no bouncer there, everyone just starts piling in. The amount of information, the amount of things happening, and that's everything is happening so fast in our environment that our a piece of our brain is getting so overstimulated, and it pushes us into the sympathetic state, right? And that's not good, because then we move faster. We want our kids to move faster. Hurry up, get out of the car. Hurry up, get in the car. We got to go here. We got to go there, right? Now, what are we doing?
One example we heard in the book, the 1 minute story, bedtime stories. Got a 1 minute bedtime story, and there's like books made like that.
Wow.
Like,
how that's funny.
Kids to bed and put them out,
instead of enjoying it, right? Instead of enjoying it, we're trying to move faster and faster. But there's a book that we read, and Jeannie turned me on to this, and it's actually based off kind of the Waldorf system. And this summates how we as parents should live our life and how we should create an environment in our house to help support our children to help them auto-regulate.
Gonna say, and how do we preserve that child?
Right. So and it's go ahead.
Simplicity parenting.
Simplicity.
I ordered that because of you guys. One of you recommended it on Instagram.
So good. No way.
Have to read it still, but.
So good. You're gonna love it.
And the reason we started doing it, because we noticed at one point, you know, Harrison's an only child, and he's got grandparents, and you have toys upon toys, and it got to a point where we're just like wholly out of controlness. You go to play with a toy, he'd be like, I don't know what you wanted to play with. Like, I can't choose. It was just so many.
So agitated.
He would get so irritated. And then he would choose none. So we started pulling toys away, putting them in the closets, you know, giving them away. And now instead of having 15 trucks in the bin, there's like 4 or 5. Wow. You know, what do you want for dinner? We don't just do, what do you want for dinner? It's like, here are your 2 options. You know, so when you simplify things, what do? You get rid of all that extra chaos that's in the way of us actually tuning in to what we want or what we need in that given moment. So for anyone, you know, with kids, that's a great book. And I think when we think about health, and this is what we promote, is just simplicity is always going to win. Mm-hmm. And Paul Check told me this.
Especially in this world.
You know, back in the day, he said a lot of different things. He was the analogy king, but he always said, like, the man or person or woman who could do the most with the least is a good practitioner or a good human, whatever you want to put on it. You know, you'd be like, you could lock me in an elevator with someone with an L5 disc, you know, derangement, L5S1, and I could rehab them, you know, with nothing. Wow. Wow. You know, and I think that's true, you know, and that's why, I think that's one of the reasons why we do what we do, because we're getting so out of control, you know, and even the Ray Pete stuff, it's become so, I use the term biohacking. It's like, we're not going to do anything. We're going to do everything to try to manipulate our physiology, right? When we need to think and do computer work, we're going to take a nootropic. It's just like, we're so far beyond where we are, instead of just saying, I'm just going to eat right and live right and go, should I actually be in front of my computer right now? I'm in the right mindset to be in front of my computer right now. Mm. You know, and that's why we truly believe that simplicity is the one of the best things you could do for your health, your life, your children, and so your environment. Mm.
I've really enjoyed you guys pulling in the parenting piece to this. And I think that's going to be really relevant for, I think a lot of our audience are moms listening. And of course, you know, all of us here are parents. And kind of on that note, I'm curious if there is a particular type of therapy that you guys recommend to your clients in terms of examining some of those childhood wounds or traumas.
I'm all about biodynamic creative psychotherapy.
Yeah, okay.
Beautiful. I think it creates a space. It provides a witness. It just creates a container that's very safe for you to mm-hmm. be in your body and be in that somatic experience of, you know, what you're feeling and moving through, you know, just different energies and getting energy to move. I think it's just a beautiful, beautiful practice. And I think
will you say that name again? It was a little muffled when you were saying the actual name. Will you say that one more time, the therapy?
Biodynamic craniosacral therapy.
Perfect. Just want to make sure everyone heard that. Yeah. Uh-huh.
It depends on the person, because some people don't want to be touched. Like if you told my dad to do that, he'd be like, I don't want someone to touch me, or you know what I mean? So it's beautiful.
Can I just say something about that really quickly? And that's fine. I don't know. I want
even if
it.
I say no, you're still going?
Yeah. Okay. because I think the reason I absorbed it and loved it so much was because it was so in alignment with the human, like it's a human practice. Mm. Our bones are breathing. Our tissues are breathing. Right. There's the primary respiration system that's feeding nutrients to our body, that cerebrospinal fluid, like it is real, right? And that's when we talk about cellular energy, I think it's all of that, right? And then you expand upon that and you look at the ocean and the universe, and there is this breath that's happening. So it's very, I don't know, it's just a human practice to me. So now you can go.
That was beautiful.
But that's like when we say the work found us.
Yeah.
That's a piece of the work that we fell into. Like I fell into studying true osteopathy in Canada through meeting people through the Czech Institute, right? And I studied osteopathy, which is a hands-on medicine. It's not U.S. osteopathy. You know, and that's how we fell into biodynamic and seeing how what we're learning really just envelops the human, their environment, and everything in between. So if you can find a biodynamic cranial sacral therapist, I think for a lot of people, that's amazing. I mean, if someone can find a Canadian trained or French trained osteopath, same thing, that would be ultra amazing.
But it's really it could be dance. It's anything that gets you in your body.
And that's play. It's play, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, I ask every single client, tell me a little bit about your hobbies. What do you like to do beside work? It honestly, in 20 years, I think less than 5 people have told me what their hobbies are.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
It's because we have them when we're kids.
Yes.
But then we move further and further from self. We focus on everyone else's needs, work, money, and we lose ourselves, you know? And we have to get back to them. We have to get back to play. It's one of the easiest ways to tone your nervous system. It is one of the easiest ways to tone your nervous system. It's just to play. And that's why I truly believe, and I'm not going to say it's always easy, but we play a lot with Harrison, whether it's the three of us, whether it's her and him, or whether it's me and him, we always play. And I believe having a child is probably your biggest teacher, because it allows you 100%. To not only help them shape their nervous system, but allows you to play again and reshape your nervous system.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That is so beautiful. I feel like that was one of the first lessons I learned whenever I had a child, was this opportunity to become like a child myself and reparent myself. And it's just beautiful. I feel the same way about learning too, like discovering John Holt. I don't know if you guys are familiar with him, but the father of unschooling. But just the idea of you getting to relearn and like rediscover life, like through the eyes of your child, as they become curious about the world around them and aren't suppressed. Like that's curiosity not being suppressed. So it's just this beautiful opportunity. And wrapping up the episode, I wonder how you guys address, you know, whenever you have clients come to you, just the idea of how to take ownership of their health. I don't know if you guys have more practical tips or if it's more of a philosophical approach of just like taking ownership of your health, examining your story. You guys were talking about earlier, like looking back at how we got here. I wonder if you guys see this as the first step on a healing journey or if it's something that kind of happens over time as you get into your body.
I think for some people it could be the first step, but I think for other people it might be very scary, traumatizing, and paralyzing to say, how do I get here? Because I work with people who have, you know, children that died in their arms at 6 months old. You know, I have, you know, children or clients that were physically abused, sexually abused, mentally abused, or the list goes on. And we're not trying to be therapists, you know. But I think for some people, just diving into that right away can be maybe a little bit much. Go back to that, the initial question again.
Well, just the idea of if taking ownership and being able to examine your own story, if you feel like you pretty much just answered it of just like, for some people, they can do that as their first step, but for other people, it's going to take time before they can get to a place where they're able to take ownership. Yeah. And when I say take ownership, I mean like not getting ready to blame everything else. It's kind of the difference between being able to trust the process or just getting into something and waiting for something to go wrong and then blame that next new thing, you know?
I think there's so many layers to that because I think there's a lot of conditioning there, you know, based on how we experience our parents, you know, how they experience their love, their anger, everything, how they interacted with us. But I think to take ownership, I think a lot of people are taking ownership. You know, they want to change.
They really do.
They're asking questions on Instagram. You know, they're taking supplements. They're, you know, buying Fallon's new cookbook. They're doing things. They're taking ownership. The problem is, I think people are doing too much, right? And that ownership has moved them away from really taking their own ownership. They're just doing everything. It's like, I always say to clients, it'd be like me going to change the tire of my car, which I would never do, but change the tire of my car and take out every single tool that's in my toolbox, that's in my garage, to change the tire. It's not needed. It's not needed. We don't need to do that. All we need is A, B, and C to do that, right? So I think to take ownership, people just need to step back and say, you know, am I doing too much? Do I need to let go of some stuff? And I bet 99% of the people do need to do that.
And I think a really good kind of signal that you are is overwhelmed. Do you feel overwhelmed?
How many people do you know that are overwhelmed by the pro-metabolic community?
Yeah, wow. Because if you're overwhelmed, you're doing too much.
Doing too much.
So it's a really great way, a really simple way to identify that for sure. And then I think there are a lot of people who are trying to take ownership of their health. And then that's where we can't forget it. So many people are at different layers of their healing process and they're just taking the next step that they know to take, right? And we have to honor that and just kind of meet them where they are and reflect back and just continue to go down the path, because your life, I truly believe you're led to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next thing. If you're willing to be open to exploring.
Right. But if you are that person that's doing the supplements, the red light therapy, buying the cookbooks and the manuals and the guides like we have, we want you to take a step back and say, I'm taking ownership, but how could I do it differently? How could I actually take ownership for myself and just let go of buying more and doing more? And what is one thing in my life that I could sit down and think about it? What is one thing, and it doesn't have to be huge, that I know I need to change? And you might go, I know I need to do it, but I can't do it right. Back up a little bit. What's that one little thing that you know you need to change, right? Start there and take ownership there. not by buying something, not by doing something like red light therapy, using a modality. I mean, like, okay, we had someone in our last group who, she was older, not older, but she was like in her 60s, hot flashes. She'd work out at 5 in the morning and she'd have hot flashes all day. And we said, we're going to challenge you. For the next week or two, we want you to eat at specific times, and these are the things you're going to eat, then work out, and then boom, 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 you know? And then she came back the next call, and she's like, my hot flashes are like over 50%, gone within 2 days of doing this. So it just takes one little change to create that catalyst, to create more awareness and go, okay, now what's next? What else isn't working for me? Or what is working for me, you know? I think that's a huge way to take ownership, because all of us can change a little, even when we've been doing it for 20 years. We're constantly making changes.
We're constantly having to adapt to life.
Yeah.
You know? So, and I think that's another really important thing before we wrap up, because you have to go to Harrison, is that when we get caught in our healing process and it's working, that we're there. We got it. But life and different phases of life are going to require you to adapt and be able to adapt and to move in a new way, right? So when you get these foundational pieces down, it's like, oh, a little shift here, a little shift there, back on track, right? It makes it a lot easier.
Or that you have to do more to create more change. And that's not true, because what we've noticed over 20 years, that's in the beginning, people slowly make change and they need to make more changes. But over time, the people that have been doing this longer and longer, excuse me, have to make less and less changes to create some sort of shift. And usually, like, I have some clients that towards the end of working together, we'll have a consult, maybe not talk for 2 or 3 months, because they're just doing this one little thing, the foundation's there. They're just riding the wave now.
Yeah.
Just riding the wave. They're there. They know what to do. The body's sinking in to all the changes that they've made. We don't maybe even have to change anything. Just ride the wave and enjoy it. Right? And adapt.
Exactly. Oh, that was so well said. Thank you guys so much for being here and just putting that so beautifully into a picture for us. And is your group coaching open right now? Let's let our audience know how we can, how people can get in contact with you guys. And is group coaching open or is it closed now?
Registration is open. Class begins January 12th. Yes.
Yeah.
And then we also have
I mean, there's a few things. Of course, we have a lot of free content. We have some free downloads. We have some very, cheap ebooks, like our cookbook. And I would say, like, in the realm of like learning, we have our Balancing the Body Budget Guide, which is like here. And then group coaching, which enrollment and open for the January class is here. And then we have one-on-one coaching, which is,
Lots of options, opportunity.
Yeah. Awesome. And yeah, and you guys have written books. You've got Saturated Fact is one of them.
Yeah, they're so old, it's crazy.
Like they said, they have so much free content on their Instagram. You could just spend a day, maybe not a whole day, do it in doses. Do it in doses. Anyways, thank you guys so much for being here. And yeah, we're wrapping up the season with this episode. We knew you wanted you guys to be on the finale, so I just appreciate it so much.
Thanks so much.
So fun to be here with you guys.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
All right, we'll see you guys in the next season.
All right, sounds good.